Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Man, I was mad. He hit me up on Monday, said he was going to the baccalaureate and wanted me to preach. And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And so I kept thinking, and of course we as preachers, we try to theme and we do series and we do all those things. And so his new series that we've been going through, of course, is Passing the Test. And so I wanted to do something not exactly like that, but something that might go with that. And so, you know, tonight I want to talk about why Jesus is worthy of our faith. And we're going to see that here in the book of Hebrews tonight. And we're going to see this in this church. In these few verses tonight, we're going to see why Jesus is so worthy of our faith. And I hope he's worthy of your faith. And I hope that in talking about this tonight, that we see how important our faith in Jesus is. And more importantly, I wanted to tie that, our faith, into helping us pass the test. And we've seen this very morning, without Job's faith, how would he have ever passed that test? You know, I think about my own life, and Matt, he hit a home run with that this morning. But man, you think about the life of Job, and you think about what he allowed the devil to do to him. And then I think about trying to endure that and go through that without faith in Jesus Christ. It would be impossible. It would be impossible. You know, I read a story of a small girl that had been promised the privilege of climbing to a nearby hilltop where her brother enjoyed playing. But when she came within sight of the steep, rough path, she drew back in dismay. "Why isn't there a smooth spot anywhere?" she exclaimed. "It's all bumpy and stony," she exclaimed. "Yes," said her more experienced older brother. "But how else would we ever climb to the top if it wasn't? The stones and bumps are what we step on to get there. And so too God in his faithfulness allows affliction and even puts in our path what some might consider to be stumbling blocks." You know, you think about rocks. Have you ever been down to the creek? Have you ever been down to southeastern Oklahoma and you get up to the edge of a creek down there where the water's been running over the rocks? It looks innocent, doesn't it? And it looks like, boy, I can just hop, skip, and jump. I'll be right over that. But where that water has been running over those rocks, you know what's about to happen, don't you? You're going to step off on that. And they're what many of us Oklahomans call slicker and snot, right? And before you know it, you're in the creek. And so when you think about rocks and you think about climbing and getting to the top, you need some rough rocks. You need some ridges. You need some bumps to grab a hold of, right? And you can think about crossing that creek, and many of us, probably everybody in this room, has tried to get across that creek where those smooth rocks are at, and we've all gotten wet. And so you wonder why the Lord puts these bumpy rocks in our lives. It's because if they were all smooth and slick as snot, so to speak, we couldn't stand up. We'd fall down time after time after time. And so too, God in his faithfulness, he allows those bumpy, rough rocks to be put in our paths. And we're going to see this very thing in the church here tonight that we're talking about here in Hebrews. And to set the stage, you know, our lives are like this hill climbed by this little girl. We marvel at the bumps and stones we are forced to overcome in our journey, yet we fail to realize that everything we face, God has a plan. And even as we struggle, we are just heading up that mountain. And you know, these Hebrews here that we read about tonight in these verses, we're in the same kind of fight that we are every day. And not to the extent that we're not living in a time and to the persecution that this church was, but we can take some things from this tonight and understand that we too must be faithful and stay the course. And so if you're there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, We'll read there. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Man, those are some wonderful verses. And you know, as I was reading these this week and thinking about this Hebrew church and the tough time that they were having, we see there in verse 14 that they were undergoing intense persecution, where many were tortured and some killed for their faith. And I know in saying that, that's not the world we live in. No one here is being tortured or killed for their faith, but yet not too far away from here they are. They are. And so I say all that to say this, is that I'm trying to make you understand that our faith is not as strong and as faithful as you think it is. Because many of us today, still to this day, we get by every day on our own strength. What we can do, how we can overcome it. And you know what? What I want us to see tonight is that we've got to stop that. We have got to come to a point in our lives where we fall on our faces and realize that we've got to turn it all over to God. But many of us, we can't find it. Either it's our pride, it's our stubbornness, whatever it may be. Many of us, we continue on day after day after day trying to do things in our own power and our own flesh. And we continue to struggle and we continue to fall short. And that's exactly what this church was trying to keep from doing, and yet they struggled mightily every day. Their faith was a daily struggle, and many felt like giving up, just like many of us do. A lot of times we get beat down. We figure out that it sometimes feels like it's just easier to quit. And you know, we've spent our whole lives telling our children and grandchildren that we can't quit. If you start something, you got to finish it. And so that's the way we have to be when it comes to the faith. We have to finish our race. We have to face the fight head on, and we have to give it over to the one who can win the fight. And so that's where we're at tonight. We see the struggle with these Hebrews, and some were, of course, very tempted to give up public profession of faith. How many of us have been there? How many of us have ever been in that point where, you know what, it's just easier to fall victim, to fall into the crowd, to live for the world? You know, I know there's probably some of us tonight here sitting here that in our jobs or in our communities, it's difficult. It's difficult. Maybe you work in a job where it's just constant ridicule. Maybe it's constant vulgar language. All those things, they add up. And sometimes you just feel like, man, maybe it'd just be easier to give in. You know, I can remember a time in my life when I used to go out of town on the road and work out of town a lot. And I worked with a group of guys that they couldn't wait till 5 o'clock, because at 5 o'clock, boy, they were headed to the bar. They were going to drink their day away. And I can remember a time where it was hard. They would, aren't you coming? Aren't you coming? Aren't you going with us? And so we all run into those different situations, those difficult situations where we say, no, I'm not. And eventually they get the hint. But then again, sometimes it gets the cold shoulder. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to hang out with you. They don't treat you the same as they used to, or they don't treat you the same as the other guys in the group. And, you know, I talked about that this morning. That's a good thing. I didn't see it then, but I see it now. You know, the Bible tells us we're to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. And I pride myself on being different now, but back then it was much harder. And so I don't know tonight what you're going through. Maybe you're going through that. Maybe your job, maybe your friends, whoever it may be, you're still dealing with, I'm going to call it persecution, although it is not. But many times we're ostracized for what we believe. And many times I know it's easier to think that maybe I'll just give up. Maybe I won't push as hard. Maybe I won't put Jesus out there like I normally do because I know what's about to come back to me. But we can't allow that to happen. All right, we can't allow that to happen. While we aren't being persecuted to any great extent, we are still tempted to live outside the absolute faith. And I highlighted that word, absolute faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, that's where we have to get to in our lives. And we'll see it here in a minute. These Hebrews, they had to get to the same point in our lives where we have to be absolute in our faith. No questions. People need to know who we are, what we are, and what we're about, without us even having to say a word. Is that where you're at in your life? Do people, when they see you, do they know that there's not a chance that that person is going to do that or say that? Is that where you're at in your faith? Or are you still one of those who are struggling with your faith in Jesus? And I'm going to tell you that He's so worthy of our faith. He's so worthy of our faith. You know, we're tempted to look to every other source for help. We are, rather than turning to the Lord. You know, I want to take these verses tonight, and I want us to understand and realize how important it is to trust Jesus. Not only to wash our sins away and give us eternal life, but so that he might help us to live our life that's becoming to Him. And so we look very quickly, and I know we're all hungry and we've had a long weekend, but I want to get through this here. And we see very quickly He has the ability to see our pathway. I know many times we don't turn everything over to Jesus because we think that He doesn't know what we're going through. I think many times we don't give it all to God because He can't know. He can't know what I'm dealing with. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight He does. He's seen everything you've went through. He knows everything you've went through. And more importantly, He's endured. He's endured everything you've went through. Look there with me in verse 13. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." You know what that tells us tonight? There is nothing, nothing that He does not see, nothing that He does not know in His sight. But all things are naked and open to His eyes. Yep, that's right. Your life, my life, everything about us is open and naked to His sight. Yes. Unto His eyes of whom we have to do. You see, He has the ability to see and know everything that we do and say. God is constantly watching your path. The eyes of the Lord miss nothing. You know, we think about the disciples in the storm. We think about Mark chapter 6, verse 48. And we see there that they were in a terrible struggle, and they were lost. If you go back to that story over there in Mark, and I'll turn there. You don't have to, but we go over there and we read of the story of the disciples in that storm, and we've read it many times, and you probably have too. I'll get there in a second. But Matthew 6 and 48, it says, "And He saw them." He saw them. He knew. He knew where they were at. He knew where they were at the whole time. And He knew. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, look what He did. He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when He saw them walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They were scared. And for they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them, and He said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." You see, that's where we have to get in our lives. When we're faithful to trust in the Lord, we have to get to a point where we hear His voice, where we fall upon our knees, we fall upon our face, and we listen for that still, small voice to say, "Hey, hey, Seth, hey, John, it's me. It's me. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid." You see, that's why He's so worthy of our faith, is He's just a prayer away. And we have to be constant. He sees our trials. Yeah, He does. He knows exactly right now. Every one of us, maybe in this room tonight, we're going through a trial or a tribulation. He knows. He knows right now. He knows right now. But the problem is many of us, we're too proud, we're too prideful, we don't get in our prayer closets at home, we skip the altar because we're embarrassed or we won't want anybody else to know. He already knows. He already knows. He sees our temptations. He knows what's tempting you. He knows what's tempting you. We just went over that a few weeks ago. He sees your tears. God is continually working out our path. He is. Regardless of where life leads, be sure that God is in control of what happens. You know, the thing is there's no coincidence. There's no coincidence in life. A child of God, there's only providence. Man, I believe that with all my heart. I do. It's not coincidence you're here tonight. It's not coincidence that the things that are going on in your life, they're for your good and for His glory. And the quicker that we understand that and the quicker we learn that, the better off each and every one of us will be. But yet, many times, we do think that things are coincidence. We think that, man, I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe He allowed that to happen to me. And we never, ever understand and realize that that was for your good and for His glory. We pout, and we continue to allow things to affect us. And you know, the thing is, just like those smooth rocks and those rough rocks that we talked about in the introduction, not everything God does is pleasant, but everything God does is right. Everything is right. You know, I read of a story of a small boy was playing with his sailboat at the edge of a lake. And when the wind pulled the sailboat away from the water's edge, from the shoreline, out of his reach, he began to cry. And he saw it moving further and further away. This was his favorite boat. And the wind took it further and further away. And about that time, an older boy came up to the shoreline and he seen what was going on. And he began throwing big rocks at the boat. The smaller boy cried very loud, "Why? Why are you throwing stones at my boat?" The older boy said, "You don't know what I'm doing. I'm throwing stones on the far side of the boat to create some waves so the boat would come back to the shore." You see, God does that in you and our lives. Many times when our life, which is the boat, gets a little too far from the shore, sometimes He has to throw a rock and cause a wave so that we might, what? Come back to Him. You see, in that illustration, you see, God is the shore and we are the boat. You see, many times He's doing us a favor and we don't even know it. We think, why is He throwing these rocks at us? But He wasn't trying to hit us. He was just trying to scare us or steer us back to the shore. He's trying to get that sailboat back to you. God knows what He's doing when He throws the stones in our lives. They're meant to draw us close. You know, we see these Hebrews here. We see them here in verse 14. And we're moving on here, and I'll get through this. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, is to help us hold fast to our profession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession." You see, many of us, we come to a point in our lives where we've forgotten how to hold fast, to stand our ground, to be worthy to be called Christians. You see, God is confidently waiting at the end of our path. Everything God does in our life or allows to happen in your life is simply His way of maturing us into the image and Son of Jesus Christ. You know, Ephesians 4:13 says, "God's desire is that we decrease so that He might increase." He's so worthy of our faith. He has the ability to see what's going on in our lives, and He also has the ability to sense our pain. Look there at verse 15. It says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We think about the 40 days and the 40 nights. We think about Jesus in the mountain. We think about how Satan tempted Him and all those things. He felt all of them, yet He never gave in. He never gave in. You know, He feels our pain. We think about Stephen in Acts 7. We think about Saul had persecuted many Christians, but Jesus felt their pain. Acts 9 and 4, just as He felt the pain of those people, He feels your pain just as he felt Stephen's, just as he felt Paul's. When you have a need in your life, heaven is moved to take care of it. Jesus knows what you feel, and he loves you. When he hurts, when we hurt, he hurts. He is familiar with our problems. You know, some may ask, how can Jesus know what I'm going through? Well, he is perfect and way off up in heaven. How can he possibly feel what I feel? He's able to know what humans feel because obviously he lived as a human. He knows exactly what we face. He understands temptation. He understands the nature of our temptations. Jesus was tempted, obviously, in all the same areas where we are. You see, Jesus was not only sinless, but he was and is incapable of sinning. He has hatred and repugnance for sin that few of us can imagine. Therefore, coming face to face with sin was a horrible event for Jesus. You know, he also understands rejection. Jesus does. He was rejected by his own people. You see, he's faced all those things, and yet, you know, we today, we can't even compare the temptations, the rejection, all those things that we face, they fail in comparison to what Jesus faced. That's what makes our faith in him, his worthiness to be faithful to, so much more doable. He understands poverty. I know that hits home with many people today. We live in a society, we live in an economy today where we see poverty at all-time highs. We know people struggle and don't know where their next meal's coming from. Yeah, Jesus did the same thing. There was times where he never knew where his next meal would come from. We think about he never even had a place to lay his head many times. He understands our poverty. He understands our grief. You know, I think that's probably the one thing that I've noticed most when it comes to giving up on the faith and rejecting Christ is in times of grief. You think about people, you think about losing loved ones, and I've seen it time after time where people, they quit. They quit. They're so heartbroken, they lose a loved one or someone, and they just can't come to grips with why the Lord would take those people out of their lives. And the grief takes to them so bad that they just shut down, and they blame God. And we know, you know, I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time, and we've talked about this numerous times, why God could take someone so good, so perfect, you know. But as we know, no one's good. No, not one. And when you tell people that, they look at you, and it's hard for them. Because we know there are good people, but they're not to that point. And so we have to understand that he understands our grief. He knows exactly what it's like to lose someone that you love. He does. When we face those times, Jesus understands our heartbreak. That's why it's so important to pour those things out to him and him alone. You know what else he understands? He understands our loneliness. He knows what it's like to have no one around him who understands what he's going through. You think about the verse in the Bible. He talks about if it was possible for this cup to pass from him. But it wasn't. Don't you know how lonely he felt? Don't you know how lonely he felt in that moment? You know, we always say that we can go to people, we can talk to people, we have friends that, you know, we confide in, and it's because they understand what I'm going through. They've been through it, or they know what I'm talking about. I can't imagine there being anybody on the face of this planet that knows more what you're going through than Jesus Christ. He's been through it all. He's been through it all. And yet, time after time after time, we're not faithful enough to take it to him, to give it all to him. We give him bits and pieces when he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're suffering with. And that's all he wants. He just wants you to bring it to his feet and lay it down. You know, I think we miss out on many, many blessings time and time again because we're too proud, we're too stubborn to just go, you know what, Jesus, here it is. You already know about it. You already know that I'm broke. You already know that I'm a sinner. You already know that I'm tempted. You already know that I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm tired of it, and here it all is. Take it from me. And he will. But yet, many times, we won't do it. We'll throw one or two things down and we hide the rest. We hide the rest in our hearts. We hide the rest in our minds. And we suffer and we struggle. And we continue to lose the faith. And then lastly, we look at verse 16. He has the ability to solve all of our problems. Look here. Look here. And I'm almost done. Let us therefore come boldly. I think I just said that. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, the Lord gives us an open invitation to come unto Him, Himself, for help. He does. We're so guilty of trying everything else before we seriously seek help from the Lord. That's the problem. Each and every one of us. I don't want to see a show of hands, but I guarantee you, every one of us in here, we've tried on our own. We've tried on our own. I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this. And if that don't work, then Lord, I'll ask for your help. And you know, many times the problem is with the three times that you tried is you made it worse and worse and worse. And then you're a mess. And then you take it and dump it at the feet of Jesus. When if you would have just asked him to start with, your life would be so much better. You see, we'll worry. We'll have pity parties. We'll do all those things before we run to Jesus. You see, we must be faithful in his power. You see, those days held absolute sway over the issues of life and death. Earthly kings possessed great power, but all their power combined is nothing next to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wrote down a ton of verses about how he has exceeding power, how he meets everything we have with power. He has cleansing power. He has healing power. He has load-lifting power. He has mountain-moving power. And for time's sake, we won't read all those verses that I wrote down. But I hope you know he's all-powerful. He's mighty. He's all those things. He's so familiar with everything that we do. You know, his promise to us is that when we come to him by faith, we will find all that we need to meet the need of our hearts and our life. He'll give us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. But the problem is, we're not faithful enough to ask for it. We're not faithful enough to ask for it. He's so worthy of our faith. He's so worthy of our faith. And the thing is he was sufficient then, and he's sufficient today for all that we need. I'm going to close. Brother Darren, you can come, and let's have a song of invitation tonight. I want to ask you tonight, and I know I've not done a good job of this tonight, but have you been tempted lately? Have you? To lose faith? Have you been tempted lately to just quit or to do something else? Or has the load you're bearing just seemed like it's too heavy at times? Your job, your family, your kids, whatever it may be. I tell you tonight, that's just Satan's way of stirring up strife. That's the only thing he has. That's the only thing he has that he can get to us. He pours out those things and he tells you that you can handle it. You can do it. You can get through this. You don't need to come to the altar. You don't need to bow at the feet of Jesus. You got this, Troy. You can get through it. You see, it's Satan. It's Satan. He tells you that you can handle these things. I tell you tonight, there's no possible way any of us in here can handle the things that we go through without Jesus. I pray tonight that you're faithful. I pray tonight that your faith becomes exceedingly stronger day after day after day. And the way that is by throwing those things at his feet and allowing him to work through them and sort through them and show you that he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he can get you through it. And it just takes one time to see Jesus get you through something, and then you realize, why did I wait so long? What took me so long to realize that he's the only one I need? So let's stand tonight. Let's stand tonight. And if you have something on your heart or mind tonight, if you need to come pray about it, I pray you come tonight. You strengthen your faith and you pour it all at the feet of Jesus. And if you've never accepted Christ tonight, you come. You come. I'll show you exactly how. And you can come to know him before it's eternally too late. What number are we going to sing, Brother Darren?
242.
Page 242. You come and pray tonight if you need to.